Hello, Renee.
Hello, Andrew, and hello, Ingas Nation. You're listening to episode 24 of the CrossFit Ingas podcast, and today we will be explaining the key concepts of CrossFit.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the first time we've recorded in the morning.
Yes.
It is Saturday morning. We had some conflicts yesterday, so yeah. We had to push it out.
Almost 8 o'clock, so yeah. I don't mind the morning.
I know you don't.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm okay with it as well.
Okay.
We'll see how this goes.
We had to kind of switch our positioning in here. And well, if you can like picture us, we sit at the little table behind the couch. And normally we sit on the side of the desk.
The sun was right in my eyes.
So we had to switch it up a little.
All right. So we're going to start with open update.
Yes. So 19.3.
Done.
Done last week. We're in 19.4 right now.
Yeah.
But little recap from last week.
Yeah, so we had actually three new movements, right?
Yeah.
Strict handstand push-ups, we've never seen before. The overhead lunge, we've never seen. We've had lunges, but not with a dumbbell overhead.
Right.
And then the box step-up, which was also new.
It was fun.
It was, yeah.
It was a fun workout.
I liked the first 90 reps. After the box, not so much, but that's okay.
No handstand push-ups?
Not for me. Not for me.
No, it was definitely a fun little workout.
Yeah. So we had a couple of highlights
from
the week. You want to go first?
Yeah. So Kenny for 19.3, I just lost my train of thought.
Handstand push-ups.
Handstand push-ups. He got his first handstand push-ups, and apparently it was like the first time he kicked up to the wall.
Yeah, I think that's what he told me. He had never actually even kicked up to the wall before that workout.
He he did the workout twice, too, and his second time he did improve. And I think a lot of people who did do that workout in particular, they did a little bit better.
Yeah, I think he got four the second time around.
Cool,
Good job, Kenny.
Yeah, he's been crushing it. We'll touch on that later, but you've been crushing it, Kenny.
So my highlight was Kev Maz.
Yep.
So this is like the tale of two workouts for him. actually maybe three. He blew through the lunges. Crushed the lunges. And then the box, the height of that box just ate him up.
Oh.
Like he was struggle bus big time.
And so I feel him. Having short legs on those boxes.
No doubt. That's hard for short people.
Yeah.
So he got off the box step ups at like 7:41. So he had just over 2 minutes on the wall and then proceeded to do like 23 strict handstand push-ups.
That's amazing.
That's some very impressive. Most of the guys who got like to that 20 plus level had, you know, 3-4 minutes on the wall, and he did it in like half the time. So
that's awesome.
Good job, Kev, like sticking with it and getting to that point
where,
you know, you're able to let your strength kind of shine through.
For sure. I just want to give a little quick shout out to Erin Martinez. I don't know if I told you this story.
No.
So her and I have been chit-chatting about the Open. She's not actually like signed up for the Open, but
so for people who don't know, she was a former coach.
Yeah.
Her husband's in the Navy, so they moved away. They're down in Nashville now.
Tennessee. They're in Tennessee somewhere. Yeah. Hopefully they come back.
Yeah.
But we've been chit-chatting about the Open, and she was telling me how she did this workout. And she's not into lifting heavy or moving heavy weight. She used to be a gymnast, cheerleader, competitive cheerleader. So I was like telling her I had 3 minutes on the wall, and I got 2 handstand push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
She told me she had 20 seconds left. And she got 8 handstand push-ups.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Nice job, Erin.
Great job, Erin. Just want to give her a shout-out, too.
Yeah, that's definitely her, would be her strength.
Yeah. All right. So this week.
This week we got some snatching, some bar muscle-ups, and burpees.
Yep.
Another really good workout.
Yeah. We both did it last night.
Yep. And how'd you do?
Good. I finished the second round with the bar muscle-ups and the burpees.
Right.
So I finished them.
And you beat me by how many reps?
Two reps on the burpees. Yeah. I had a little bit of a head start.
Yeah.
My tie break time was a little bit faster.
Yeah.
So you did a good job catching up.
No, it was a good workout. Yeah. And we were saying that this would have been a good one for us to go like head to head against.
Oh yeah,
it would
much
have been
better.
A little more even matchup than the first one.
Yeah.
Any tips for the wad for everyone?
Definitely don't come out too hot on that first couplet. which we kind of saw in Thursday night.
Yeah.
Where the guys just came out guns blazing. But you can afford to throttle back a little bit to save yourself in that second half.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think there's actually two traps in this workout.
Oh, yeah, because you got trapped.
I fell into the second trap. The first one is the first couplet, like you said, not going too hot. The second trap is the bar muscle-ups, starting the bar muscle-ups,
yeah,
and not trying to do two big sets, which is exactly what I did. So you and Matt Martin,
yeah,
both started about like 20 seconds ahead of me,
yeah,
on that second round, 20, 30 seconds. And I started my muscle-ups, and they felt great. And I was like, I got stuck in my head. And I was like, I'm going to catch them right here. I'm going to do all 10. And that was not a good decision.
What happened?
Five felt great. And then I had a little like mishap with my hand placement on the bar for number 6. And I really struggled. And then that kind of like sapped me for the rest of that round. But lesson learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you decide to do it again, you know what not to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
So good luck to everybody who still has to complete this. Don't come out too hot. Don't fall into the trap of those muscle-ups. Even the pull-ups, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
Go to quick singles if you have to.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to do some more little community shout-out.
Yeah.
Who, you want to go first?
Yes. So I have Stephanie, who has been working super hard to get her first pull-up. And she came into my 9 a.m. class, maybe it was last Thursday, and it was goat day. And I turned around, and she was doing kip and pull-ups. And I was like, Steph, you got them. I was all excited. I didn't realize that that wasn't her first one. She's like, oh, yeah, I got them a few weeks ago. I was like, she's like, I listened to your podcast, and I want to hear my name on there. So I wanted to make sure that I gave her a huge shout-out, which is so awesome, getting your first pull-up.
Yeah.
And she was, last Thursday when she was working on them, she was stringing them together.
Nice.
So even better.
Huge milestone.
Yeah.
Good job, Stephanie.
Cool. What do you got?
So I'm going to come back to Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
So 19-2, he PR'd his clean within that workout, mm-hmm, at 185. He did the scaled version. So we got all the way through the workout. The last 7 reps are at 185 squat clean, and he hit all 7. So crushed that. He then PR'd his clean again in my Ole class like that weekend.
No way.
Yeah. So I think he hit 195 or something.
That's
so
awesome.
He's got more in him.
Definitely.
And then you mentioned the strict handstand pushups in 19-3.
Yeah, so he's been crushing it.
Yeah, really good job, Kenny.
Good stuff. The other person. Who else do you have? Do you want me to do this one or this one? Okay.
Meg.
All right. So the other person we want to shout out is Meg, who last week got her first handstand push-up, strict handstand push-up.
Yep.
And she was the winner.
She won the workout for the women.
She was the winner for the women.
Top
she
score.
Got, I think it was 4 reps.
4, yeah, I
yeah.
think so.
Awesome. And yesterday she got her first bar muscle-up.
Yeah.
Super exciting. So she's been having a few good weeks, too. So awesome job, Meg.
Nice job, Meg. So my next one is Gabby. So back on 19-2 again, she had a couple clean PRs, actually.
Yep.
So the first time she did it, she PR'd her clean at 95 pounds. I think she made it through all those reps in the workout.
I think so. I was there.
Which is that for the scaled version, that was the 4th round.
Yeah.
And then she redid the workout again and PR'd her clean at 115 for 9 reps.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She did all 9. Actually, the 115 is the 4th round. So she did all 9 and like made it into the next round of the workout.
Great job, Gabby.
Yeah. Really.
Crushing it.
Really, really good job.
Cool. And then I just wanted to give a shout out to all of our nutrition challenge participants. We finished up the challenge last week, and everybody did such an awesome job. So great job, everybody. And we should be coming out with the winner soon. So stay tuned for that.
Some good results.
Yeah, some really good results.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
hard work pays off.
Absolutely. That consistency. So keep it up.
Okay. My last one is your hubby.
Okay.
Chris Grady for... I think like at the beginning of the open, he said that he was going to do all the workouts once. He
mm-hmm.
wasn't going to redo any. He was going to give it everything he had, and then that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to commend him for sticking to that game plan, because it's really hard. Like,
it's tempting.
Yeah, to do it again. It's really hard to stick to that. And he's done it for all three so far. And he's doing really well, too. He's like, I think he was tied for fourth in the gym.
Yep.
So he's doing great, and he's sticking to that plan, and he's not letting anything sway him. So
that's pretty cool.
Shout out to you, Chris.
Good job, honey. All right. Is that all we have?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So let's get into the meat of this podcast.
Which is the key concepts of CrossFit.
Yeah. So we wanted to... there's like two articles that came out that Greg Glassman wrote, the founder of CrossFit, back in the early 2000s. One of them is called What is Fitness? Mm-hmm. And the other one is called Foundations. Mm-hmm. And in those two articles, there's a lot of kind of the key concepts of what CrossFit is and the methodology behind it. Mm-hmm. So we thought it would be good to kind of highlight those and explain, you know, get into the details on what they mean and how it kind of influences like what we do in the gym. Mm-hmm. So we've got six of them.
Yep.
And we're going to go back and forth kind of talking through them.
Yeah.
So the first is...
constantly varied functional movements at high intensity. And this is really the prescription or the definition of what CrossFit is and why CrossFit works so well. So kind of just breaking that down, the constantly varied piece of this. When you come in every single day, we don't see the same movements.
Right.
The movements are different. The time domain is different. The stimulus of the workout is different. You're not coming in and seeing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So just kind of, for example, if taking this past week, Monday we came in and the workout was Cindy.
Yep.
20-minute workout, all body weight movements.
Yep. Longer time domain.
Longer time domain.
Yep.
And then Tuesday we come in and it's a heavy barbell.
Yep.
Short 5-minute sprints, 5 minutes of rest. So our body is never getting used to doing that same thing every single day.
Yep.
The functional movement side of this. So we have the constantly varied, then it goes functional movements. We're doing safe, effective, and efficient movements. And these are movements that are similar to what we do in our everyday life.
Yep.
So what we do in the gym, what we practice in the gym, are all things that we can carry over into our everyday life.
Yeah.
Right? So, and to do that safely is the main thing there. So when you are going to do your laundry and you're picking up your laundry basket off the floor, you should be deadlifting it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Good hinge moment, keeping your back nice and flat. Because I talk to my dad all the time about him, like, he'll, like, tweak his back, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I went to go pick up a pencil off the ground, and I tweaked my back. Yeah. I'm like, Dad, well, how are you bending over?
Yeah. I love when people, like, say that deadlifts are dangerous.
Yeah.
It's like, so, are you not going to pick up your laundry basket off the ground?
Right.
Or, like, you know, or pick up the grocery bag? Like, anything, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
That is a deadlift. You're picking up a weighted object right. from the ground and standing up with it.
Right. Squatting. We squat every single day. You mm-hmm. go to sit at your desk at work, you should be squatting. And again, burpees. Why do we do burpees? We should be able to get on the floor, crawl around. If you have kids, you want to be able to get on the floor and crawl around with them. If you have grandkids, we should be able to do that as well.
Yeah.
So these movements are everyday things that we can apply to our everyday life inside the gym, outside of the gym. And then just going into that high intensity. So intensity levels can be adjusted to challenge each individual depending on what their fitness level is mm-hmm. and to improve that fitness level.
Yeah.
So we see these top games athletes going 110%. Well, that's a challenge for them.
Yeah.
Whereas we have maybe the everyday person who isn't going at that extent, mm-hmm. but... something a little bit more throttled back is going to be much more beneficial to their needs.
Yeah, the intensity is relative.
Exactly. Right?
It's relative to the individual.
Right.
So what is intense for a games athlete is going to be different than what is intense for us or for our grandparents.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's all relative.
Yeah. So you could come in here when we do Murph on Memorial Day, and we'll have some people in here doing it with a weighted vest, mm-hmm. right? And that's going to be a challenge for them. Whereas we have some people doing ring rows, right, and scaling all the other movements down because that's going to be where their intensity level is.
Yep.
And that's going to just help them improve as they go through their fitness journey.
Yeah, and I think the intensity piece is the one that is most often misunderstood in CrossFit, is they see that as part of, you know, oh, CrossFit is dangerous because it's all this high-intensity movement.
Right.
Where there's another kind of one-liner in those articles, which is mechanics first, consistency, then and only then intensity.
Right.
So the whole point is that we have to make sure that you have the mechanics to move well, that you can do that consistently, and then you add in the intensity piece.
The last component there.
And that's how you get the safety factor built in.
Right. Cool.
I like it.
Good stuff.
So next one.
Good start. What is the next one?
So that's the definition of CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the next one is essentially CrossFit's definition of fitness, which is increased work capacity across broad time and modal domains.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to when these articles came out in the early 2000s, there was really no definition of fitness.
Right.
It had never really been defined before. And so CrossFit was the first to really do that. And it's a really good definition when you understand it. And it sounds like a little complex, but we can kind of break it down. So, so work capacity is our ability to do stuff, right? So it's not just essentially like your body fat percentage or your VO2 max. It's ability to put your fitness to use in the real world.
Right.
So the ability to do stuff. And then, so across broad time. So broad time means we want capacity in the short duration, in the long duration, and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
So things from like, which are very short, being like a one rep max lift or like a really fast sprint, to long duration between like, you know, a long distance run like a marathon or something, and everything in between.
Right.
So across all of those time domains, which is the reason why in our workouts we go long some days, we go short some days, and then we do stuff that's kind of in the mid range. And the modal domains just means like everything. Okay. So being able to express that capacity in things like weightlifting and gymnastics and conditioning movements like running, rowing, swimming, and any sort of physical activity that we may encounter in the real world, in life or in sport.
Right.
Right. So whether we're applying that fitness to a specific sport or whether it's just the day-to-day stuff like we were talking about before.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we want to have that, kind of coming back to the definition, we want to have that capacity across all of those time domains, across all of those different activities.
Right.
And that's essentially the definition of what, you know, fitness is or what being fit is. And the other piece of it is we want to be able to measure and test it, right? So this is the reason why we time our workouts, we record our results, because we want to be able to see who's fitter, if we're comparing between different individuals, like at the CrossFit Games.
Right.
Or are we fitter than we were before?
Right.
So we can kind of see that progress and our increase in fitness over time.
And I think the cool thing, too, about the Open, tying it into that, is if as you do years and years of the Open, you can see kind of how you as an individual has progressed over that time.
Yep.
And have improved.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty cool.
And so all of that ties into like, okay, so that's the definition of fitness.
Mm-hmm.
So then who is fit?
Who is fit?
Yeah. And I think that it kind of segues into the next piece that we're going to talk about, which is the 10 general physical skills.
Yeah. So just to list those out first and foremost, we have cardiovascular, and so endurance, stamina, strength, flexibility, power, speed, coordination, agility, balance, and accuracy. So those 10 real general physical skills is what, as we develop, we need to develop all of those to become as fit as possible,
yep.
Right? And we are only as fit as we are competent in each of these. So with fitness, with CrossFit, we want to improve these skills. So kind of breaking them down into even kind of more smaller components of this and how we do improve those.
Mm-hmm.
So putting endurance, stamina, strength, and flexibility into one grouping, to improve this, we need to train those components. So that meaning improving them through a measurable change in the body. So if we want to get stronger in our back squat, right, we need to train that consistently. Maybe we get into some sort of strength routine, right? if we want to improve our coordination, agility, balance, and accuracy, that's going to take practice. So kind of separating the two. We just did training. Now we're going to break down into practice, where we kind of are slowing things down. We are intentionally moving. In the Move class, we do a lot of this, where we are focusing on a lot of unilateral movements, balance, single leg things that we don't typically do, and building up all of those other little muscles that we wouldn't necessarily use with the first piece, with like the endurance, stamina, strength movements. And then those last two skills, the power and speed, to improve those, we should be training and practicing to get the best out of those. And you had a really great example about all the different types of athletes.
Yeah. So I think the idea is whoever has the greatest capacity across all 10 of those is the fittest.
Right.
Right. So if you look at different athletes, like, so for example, we have, a power lifter, a marathon runner, a golfer, and a CrossFitter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can kind of look through those and see, like, you know, where the people are going to excel at different things. So the powerlifter is going to be very elite at strength and power, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're probably going to be lacking in a lot of the other ones, like endurance, stamina, you know, speed, maybe things like that. The marathon runner is going to be very elite in their endurance, stamina, stuff like that, because they're going long distances all the time.
Right.
But they're not going to be very strong. They're not going to be very powerful. You know, things like that. The golfer, very elite at coordination, agility, balance, accuracy, things like that, but maybe not so much on the strength side, the endurance or stamina.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the CrossFitter, the goal of CrossFit is to be good at all of them,
right?
But not elite in any single one category.
Right.
So a lot of times we say, like, in CrossFit, we try and train GPP, which is general physical preparedness.
Right.
So essentially being broad and, you know, solid in all of those categories, but not elite in any of them.
Right.
And that's essentially what the CrossFit Games is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a test of, those 10 skills, and they try to be general across all of them to find what they call the fittest on earth.
Yeah. Do you follow Brute Strength?
A little bit.
So they recently just came out with this series
of
the females.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I haven't seen any
of it. Okay, so I've been following along with it, and they're actually kind of putting these four athletes through a test of different athletic pieces. So,
yeah, so it's like a CrossFitter.
There's a CrossFitter, there's a powerlifter, Olympic lifter, and a bodybuilder. And I think they're doing 8 different tests, 4 of them being the special, whatever they specialize in individually.
Yeah.
And they've done 5 so far. And the CrossFitter, she's sitting in first place right now.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how it goes.
Yeah, it's cool.
But it is pretty cool.
I'll have to check that
out. Yeah. Okay. So getting into our next one. Which is kind of, we're going to be talking about scaling, pretty much.
Yeah.
Right?
So, and this is the one liner here is from the article is the needs of the Olympic athlete and our grandparents differ by degree, and not kind.
Right.
And it's exactly what you said. It's essentially scaling, right? So, it's basically saying that the Olympic athlete and our grandparents need the same thing. But it just needs to be scaled for their ability level.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone needs functional movement, right? Like, I don't think you can argue that anyone, you know, doesn't need functional movement, right? Like you said, it's the things that we see in our everyday life. So everyone has to be competent in those movements. But the thing that's different is the relative intensity,
right?
So obviously the intensity for the Olympic athlete is going to be very different than our grandparents, and it's going to be different for, you know, everyone in between. And I really like this line. This is also from the article. So one of them is looking for functional dominance, the Olympic athlete. The other is looking for functional competence, right? So they still have to be functional, our grandparents, but they just have to be competent in that so that they can live their everyday lives.
Yeah.
They're not training for the Olympics. They're training for life.
Right.
And so it just kind of gets like that line is essentially why we believe that CrossFit is for everyone.
Right.
It's on the coach to make sure that what we're prescribing and the workouts that we're doing are appropriate for each individual athlete.
Right, right. And I think, too, CrossFit can be an intimidating thing, right? Because what people see on TV with the games, it's not exactly what we're doing in here.
No.
And CrossFit kind of as a whole, as we've seen within the past year, has made some changes themselves into trying to push more of that component, mm-hmm. and to get people to not be so intimidated and less about the games, which is a whole other discussion. But yeah. but they're definitely trying to push that.
Yeah. And it's a good message.
Yeah, for sure. Right? 100%. Like,
it is for everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So that's the scaling piece. So then the next one that we're going to talk about is the fitness pyramid.
Correct. So it is the theoretical hierarchy of development. So if you picture a pyramid, at the base of that pyramid, we have nutrition. So that would be the biggest part of the pyramid.
Nutrition is the foundation.
It is the foundation. Then as we move up, we have metabolic conditioning. Then moving up, gymnastics. Closer to the top, we have that weightlifting. And then at the very top, we have sport. So nutrition being the base, the foundation. We've all heard the saying, you can't out-train a bad diet, and you can't. You can work out as much as you want, and yeah, you're going to see results at first, but at some point you will hit a plateau, and you're going to have to kind of retract back and look at what your diet is like.
Yep.
And that's where the changes need to start. And as we kind of go through the pyramid here, if we don't come back to the foundation, we can't move forward, mm-hmm. right? So next, the metabolic conditioning. So moving a step up. This is building capacity in each of the metabolic pathways. So developing efficiency for short, medium, long, and short, medium, long distances simultaneously. So kind of going back to what we've already discussed, right? Moving in those different time domains, building up that capacity, and really focusing in within the workout and hitting the intended stimulus is what's going to help build this conditioning, mm-hmm. right? So it's important to, if you need to scale in order to hit the intended stimulus, to scale, right? Because that's what's going to help you get better at this component. Taking a step up, the gymnastics. So really with gymnastics, what I used to think automatically was, oh, the people you see on TV, the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
When we need to think basics first, right? That's cool to see, and we all want to get a muscle up, but if we don't have the basics of the movement first, it's a good way to get injured, and you won't be able to achieve that piece.
Mm-hmm. All gymnastics really is, and I think this is, like you said, everyone thinks this, right? Mm-hmm. They think of like people on the rings or on, you know, on
it's
the
flashy
balance beams
it's,
or whatever.
It's cool.
But all gymnastics is moving your body weight through space.
Right.
So anything that is a body weight movement is gymnastics.
Yeah.
So, and that's why, like, and it's just all ranges of that. So like an air squat, right, mm-hmm. is very basic. And then you work your way up to things that are much more advanced.
Right.
So when we're saying gymnastics, it's not necessarily just talking about, you know, pull-ups and ring muscle-ups. It's the basic stuff of, like, body weight movement.
Box jumps, right?
Yep.
Like you said, moving your body.
Yeah.
And we need to have a good basic foundation of that movement before moving on to the flashier type of movement.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why, like, even stressing, you know, it's fun to get kipping pull-ups, but or kipping handstand push-ups. But if we don't have the base being the strict component and working to build the strength, right, that all of that later is going to maybe cause injury later on. But basics first.
Yeah.
Moving on up, we have the weightlifting. So this is the ability to control external objects, barbells, and produce power.
Mm-hmm.
So these movements take years and years and years to perfect, which is why they are at close, they're second to the top of our pyramid here. So we want to kind of, again, it's all about throttling back to the basics. We want to perfect these. We want to practice them before you can even master that.
Right.
And then once we've mastered all of these, right, that brings us to the sport of it. And that's where, again, we see these elite athletes. They have mastered this. This is their practice. This is their job. This is what they do. And we want to master all of the basics, right? And create healthy, happy people versus kind of trying to get to that fast, intense, high skill sport of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep it simple. I mean, it's like, off the carbs and off the couch.
I like it.
I think is what
I love that.
Rossman says.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
So off the carbs is the first part, the nutrition, and then off the couch is everything above it.
Yeah.
It's just movement.
Yep.
Right. So I think if you can kind of think of it in that really simplistic sense, you know, that's, it's very easy to kind of digest versus, more of these kind of complex themes.
Yeah.
So, you know, eat well and move.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
It's good stuff.
And come see us to do it.
Yeah. All right. So that brings us to our last one. So we're going to go through the sickness, wellness, fitness continuum.
Yeah. So that is, so this is kind of another visual, right? So think of an arch, so a curve with sickness on the far left side, wellness at the midpoint, and then fitness on the far right. And the idea here is that everything that we can measure about health can be plot on this continuum that ranges from sickness through wellness and then to fitness. So those markers like that we talk about that we can measure, so it can be things like that you would, you know, measure at your doctor's office. So like blood pressure or triglycerides or cholesterol, things like that. So you're like your biomarkers. And then, you know, even more specific stuff that you would more consider like in terms of athletics. So like our body fat percentage or resting heart rate or VO2 max or whatever it is. And then even more specific stuff that we would do specifically in the gym, like our mile time or our max deadlift or, you know, some score in terms of like our flexibility.
Right.
So you can kind of plot these on this continuum, and it gives those numbers will give you an idea of where you fall within that space. So there's numbers with all of these, whether it's like the blood pressure stuff or the stuff in the gym that may be associated with like being sick or being pathologic. Right.
Right.
And then as those numbers improve, like there's a set of numbers with your blood pressure, triglycerides, cholesterol, whereas if you go get them measured at the doctor, you're kind of at the midpoint, like you're okay, you don't have to do anything. But then you can kind of push that further, and there's markers or there's numbers associated with these markers that you would typically associate with someone who's very fit or like an athlete.
Right.
Right. So we want to essentially push as far as we can in this continuum towards fitness. And the really cool thing about this is that fitness essentially provides a hedge against sickness.
Yep.
So the farther we can push all these markers towards fitness, the less likely we are to develop chronic disease.
Yep.
Or if something happens to us where we cannot, you know, participate in fitness, like you break your leg or something, you're less likely to slide into that sickness range.
Right.
Right. Where if someone is on the edge of that and they break their leg, that could be literally detrimental to their health.
Right.
Right? So we want to push all of those markers as far as we can towards fitness. And so really all of this, like I think a lot of times people think of health and fitness as two separate things, right? So health is something that we would, you know, our doctor would tell us we're healthy,
right.
Whereas like fitness is something we do in the gym. But really they're intertwined. They're one and the
100%.
Same. 100%. Right? Yeah. So and then how do we develop that fitness or health? And we can kind of circle back to all the things we just talked about.
Yeah.
So we want to focus on that fitness pyramid. So we want to stay off the carbs and off the couch, right? We want to focus on our nutrition and movement. We want to train general physical preparedness across those 10 physical skills. So we want to focus on having capacity in all 10 of them.
Yep.
We want to increase our work capacity across broad time and modal domains. And we want to do that by doing varied functional movements at relatively high intensities relative to us, which kind of ties everything back together.
Yeah, it's all one big circle.
Yeah. So hopefully that's helpful for people, just to kind of like, you know, there's a lot of methodology behind CrossFit.
Yes.
Which I'm sure a lot of people don't realize or don't care about, which
right.
is fine.
Right.
But there is reason and there's like science behind the stuff that we do.
Absolutely.
Within the gym.
Yeah.
So hopefully that was helpful to people and they got something out of it.
I think so.
Cool.
Good stuff.
Should we wrap up?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of the CrossFittingist podcast. We will be back in another 2 weeks for another episode.
Sounds good. Bye, everyone.
Bye.